You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is a super special episode. It is a little pregame before the MLS's back final. We're going to be talking about the semifinals, how we got here, and we have an incredible special guest, Alexis.
Yeah. We talk about a bunch of stuff, but most importantly, he talks to us. Landon Donovan is going to be on this show.
Okay.
That and more. I can't believe there's even more than that. On the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Yes!
Landon Donovan!
Yeah! Look at this. I'm on a roller coaster.
Bruh, I mean, 5 years ago when we started this damn show, we thought we would never even get in a room with Landon Donovan. And while we still haven't, we got him on the show.
Due to the restraining order.
Doesn't count over the internet. Thanks for being on the show, baby.
Thank you, technology. Yeah. All right. Yes, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans, a special The Cooligans. MLS is back, a little pregame, okay? The final is coming up. In a couple moments, but
yeah, it's gonna happen. Which is, you get to chat with us. Oh, and I don't know, a legend. Before we go on.
That's right. We are going to be joined by Landon Donovan today, head coach of the San Diego Loyal. I don't think you've ever heard of anything else he's ever done, right?
What I mean, I think he did other stuff before, but what a legend with the Loyal. Huh?
we'll ask him about his resume. You're very unfamiliar. We're super excited. Hello, but again, hello, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer program on television.
Yup, and it also happens to be the gulliest.
It's going to get a conversation with Landon Donovan is going to be exactly that, because we're going to get into some of the drama in his career. You know, maybe some of the issues he had with some coaches. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe people who ran the men's national team. You know what I mean? Maybe they butted heads a couple times.
Exactly. You know what? We'll chop it up about that.
Yeah. We'll ask him. Maybe he has stories. Or, you know, maybe goals that he scored. That means we're probably not going to get a lot of listens in Algeria.
You know, it sucks to hurt our Algerian demo. But, you know, we have to have the conversation.
When we were talking to the people in marketing, I mean, talking about demographics, we were going to hit big. First of all, I look like everyone's cousin in Algeria. Let's start there.
You know what? We're a hit in Algeria, to be honest.
Yeah. Is that
Steve? Is that my blood relative on this comedy soccer program?
Is he my cousin or yours? Because I feel like he's both of our cousins.
A lot to look forward to this program. Obviously, the MLS is back final, which is, yes, well, it is, it's 8:30 Eastern time on ESPN. So make sure you watch that, because that ESPN is on Fubo TV, bro.
That's right, son.
Okay, all right.
Bro, all you got to do is, I don't know how you scroll up, swipe up, you hit your little Roku button.
The app, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're good.
There's a lot of weight. You could use your mouse because you're on the computer. You know what I mean? Fubo's everywhere.
So the Portland Timbers will be taking on Orlando City.
Exactly how you all guessed it would end up at the beginning of this tournament.
My bracket didn't get busted. I'm all good, you know?
Yeah, no, bro. This is what I've been saying. Orlando going to win this thing. I don't know about y'all.
No,
LAFC, not even going to make it to the final.
5:38, you didn't know what you were talking about, okay?
Nah, son.
No, but look, obviously.
Which scares me, because they also do numbers for the election. Please, 538, get your shit together.
Okay, well, we should have like Orlando City, you know, running the ballots this time around. Yeah.
Oscar Pereja, what you thinking, my guy? Poppy, okay. What you thinking?
So, look, let's talk real quick about the semifinal matches. Philadelphia took on against the Portland Timbers.
And Took on against?
All right, yeah.
You had both options, and you said, you know what? I'm giving you both.
And Portland wins this 2-1. I think the main highlight of from this game was how poorly Philadelphia played. It was a bit of a shock.
I just think they got figured out. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, whatever, you know, in soccer, you can't, it's not like the NFL where they're like, all right, they got us on that play, but let's draw up blue 32. You know what I mean? Yeah, there is none of that. We make a decision at the beginning of the match, and then at the first drink break, you're like, all right, hold on.
Okay, I think they kind of got us.
What, were they listening to what we were talking about before?
Brendan Aaronson was just completely locked down. They didn't have the same freedom.
Four defenders wrapping around him. That was the midfield.
They had messy rules on Brendan Aaronson,
which is great if you're a kid.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's wonderful. Obviously flattering but frustrating. But they did, they didn't allow him to really move around much in the midfield with the ball. He was very frustrated, and so was Sergio Santos. But Portland did their thing, right? I mean, like the issues with set pieces for Philadelphia were just kind of a bit of a surprise. I think this has sort of been happening in a lot of these quarterfinal matches and semifinal matches where, like, once you give up the first goal, there's something the possibility of leaving the bubble seems a little bit more exciting. So the energy is not really there for the rest of the game. That's why it's
like at halftime, Philly was like texting their wag, like, yo,
look, I know we're down right now. Look, I think I'm gonna see you real soon, honey.
You know, I don't know. Maybe get close to the airport in the next few hours. You know,
same thing.
Things will be different.
Orlando, was just incredible. They are playing with they're a rejuvenated team.
Adrian Heath Derby was the Adrian Heath Classico.
Yeah,
I thought Minnesota, but I think this is the thing. It's just whenever someone goes up against Orlando, I pick the other team because in my head it's still Orlando.
Because nature, you know, of the way of the universe.
Because it's Orlando. No offense, Orlando, but you know, if we look at the body of evidence, you know what I mean? Would suggest y'all ain't built for this.
Yeah.
But clearly Dom Dwyer was right when he was on our show. He was like, I think y'all be surprised. You were right, Dom.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, and shout out to Dom Dwyer. Dom Dwyer just had knee surgery, so he's going to be out for a little bit. So I hope he gets back soon and quickly. But the fact that, I mean, Nani was unbelievable. Nani's been, obviously, MVP of this tournament. He hasn't necessarily had the most goals or done whatever, but he's just been...
he's had the most highlights, probably.
He's just been there when they needed them.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And this is where you see, like, that this is what a designated player is supposed to do. That golazo on that right foot curler that got past Tyler Miller was unreal.
If you're the defender, I mean, what do you do in that moment? You've got a runner coming this way, and you've got Nani in front of you. You know he could curl it. And then he did that slight feint to look like he was going to pass. Like, what do you do in that moment? There's just nothing you could do. But what do you think is going to happen in the final? I think Orlando's going to win 4-0. How about that?
Look, I'm going to go with the hot hand. I think Orlando, a home field advantage. There is something that is inexplicable about this team. I think Portland are very, very good. And especially
Portland's incredible. But now Orlando's going to lose because we pick them. Like, we don't pick them. They keep winning. We pick them. They're going to lose.
I think they are going to. It's a good matchup, too. Especially, I love it's two Latino head coaches, Savarese against Pareja. I think they're really going to, like, it's not. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game.
They should put an empanada in the middle, and whoever wins gets to eat the empanada.
So they should remove the Adidas logo and put a big empanada.
No, empanada literally on a table in between the two men. whoever wins gets to eat that empanada.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Instead of that's what the fourth referee will watch.
We got a fifth referee, an empanada referee. He's just staring at it.
Nobody touch it. He's wearing kitchen gloves.
Take me out. We got an empanada.
The golden empanada. You can't touch it. Oh my God. All right. So look, the MLS is back. Final will be 8:30 Eastern tonight. Watch it on ESPN right here on Fubo TV. We are going to be talking to Landon Donovan in the next segment. I cannot believe it.
Oh, Christian?
The co-leading goal scorer for the U.S. men's national team, Alexis.
Landon Donovan. I thought you meant the accountant in Midtown.
We get him confused all the time because that accountant, a legend too, bro.
Yeah. He's Jurgen Klinsmann's accountant.
Look, we'll be joined by Landon in just a moment. Let's talk real quick about the MLS regular season returning. They've put out the
everything
plan.
Seems super smooth. No one has any problems with it whatsoever.
They put out the plan. They put out the schedule. There's already been some concerns over, like, obviously the teams are going to be playing in their home market, and some cities are allowing them to play with fans, most without. But this is one of the issues that people are obviously concerned with, because public gatherings should not be happening. So the FC Dallas, I know, is one of them that is allowing. Which, I think it's 5,110 fans.
Bruh, I mean, FC Dallas also had, what, 10 positives, right? Did they have 10 positives across the team?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Enough that they got essentially had to leave. They were asked to leave the Orlando bubble. You know what I mean? That's like your cousin shows up to Thanksgiving drunk. You know what I mean? And you're like, I'm sorry, there's kids here. We're going to have to ask you to leave. And then they want to throw a party at their house with an open bar. That's essentially what's happening. Like, hey, did you not learn?
Just inviting all the kids back to the
I got drunk video games, dude. Just move the vodka over. It's like, what are you doing, Dallas?
Look, I think any sport that is trying to have fans in the United States is reckless, right? I mean, there's no other real way to put it. I mean,
and I know USL has had some.
Yeah, look, but it's still, you're putting yourself in danger. I'm not, I understand that every city might be different, but
probably a way to do it safely, but I think that there's so many variables attached to that that it would seem like the safest thing for everyone involved is if y'all stay ass at home and watch this on HD, you know?
Okay, yeah, because it's what they're doing right now with televisions is crazy, bro.
It's crazy. I heard you might be able to watch in 4K, whatever it takes. And so I'd rather that than 4K people be at the stadium. Do you get what I'm saying?
So look, you hope that, again, nobody has it, right, and is going to the stadium, but statistically, that's obviously not very likely. So you just hope for everyone's safety. I don't understand.
Europe, Atletico Madrid has, I think, 3 players tested positive. They're not going to have to quarantine. They can't be a part of Champions League or Europa. I forget what they're in. Like, nonetheless, like these things are serious. And we don't want the fans to get sick. We don't want some cities and states, I mean, they're letting the kids go back. No one's wearing masks. So some people are just like, whatever, COVID, no COVID, who cares? You know, high five. Everybody gets it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, it's unfortunate. And again, you just hope that everything is works out as best as possible. So
also, who wants to be outside in Dallas in this temperature? Really? I know, you want to sit outside?
I mean, it might be difficult just to even get 5,000 people. I don't even understand why that might be challenging. The heat and COVID-19 can't be, you know, it's not a good selling point.
I wish 5,000 people would try to explain to me that Pax and Pomico video of their restart. I honestly don't get it.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean,
you and I have very different comedy, so I get it. If there was one fart sound in that whole video, I would have laughed. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm highbrow.
Yeah, okay? If you haven't seen it, it was Pax and Pomico walking out, kind of excited about the restart, and then it was like Cobra.
DJ.
Yeah, Cobra was DJing, and then he just started playing this like techno music, and it was silly and it was dumb, and it was I think
it was silly, and it's weird. It's like that perfect level of MLS weird, where like, don't take yourself wildly serious. Play with it. just the bit didn't land for me, but okay. Clearly it did for Christian. Mr. So you did something right.
Mr. Highbrow Comedy, I'm Alexis like, Guerreros.
I'm like, you know what? I'm wearing one of those director scarves. I'm sitting back in a chair holding a pipe. I'm like, have we thought about a whoopee cushion? Have we thought a whoopee cushion? Honestly, one fart sound would have just, it would have made me giggle. I didn't get it, but FC Dallas, you're trying, which is more than you've done in the past, baby. Good for you.
So just a couple notable, FC Dallas and Nashville, because they were both sent out of the bubble, they missed three matches. So the way they're going to fix that is they're going to play three matches against each other.
They're doing their own competition.
The MLS is bumped. Tournament.
It's the battle for masks.
So they're going to be playing each other. August 20th, the Hudson River Derby. I mean, so then it's...
Which, by the way, NYCFC is going to play at Rebel Arena. Everyone on the internet was like, yo, the front office, yada, yada, yada. Where's that same energy from when Toronto said they're playing at Rebel Arena, my guy? We do our own bubble.
Just do the whole, the new bubble is going to be just Rebel Arena, bro.
Right. Dallas, get the DJ down to Rebel Arena.
So look, this month is going to be...
It's going to be wild.
Obviously, it's going to be wild, but we're really going to look forward to what the MLS season is going to look like. And
Right now, who we got?
Landon Donovan will be with us right after this break. Come back to the Cooligans Living Room FC as we talk to Landon Donovan.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. You being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right. Thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. So we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you. And then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
We break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? Where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we're going to get there.
Okay. We're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not?
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
I like the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road. People sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine. People sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel, from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't
a,
like
there's a few there's almost like I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, we're back on Cooligans Living Room FC. This is absolutely nuts. I don't know. What did we do? What good karma do we have that made this person say, yes, I'll do your show. Has he heard the show before?
There's no way he could have. There's no way he could have.
No, this is nuts. I'm as excited as I think I've ever been. Just to get a chance to speak to, I mean, this is what? How many legends have we spoken to? This is the top of the totem pole when it comes to American legends. Let's see. Maybe you're a huge fan of San Jose Earthquakes and you remember this guy. Maybe you're a huge fan of LA Galaxy and you remember this guy. Maybe you're a huge fan of Bayer Leverkusen or Everton, like Christian, and you remember this guy. I hope I didn't miss any. Bayer Leverkusen 2 at Bayern Munich. I think that's all of them. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you're a huge fan of San Diego Loyal and you know who this dude is. Ladies and gentlemen, pull your car over and put your hands together for the one, the only, Landon Donovan!
Landon.
Hey, you forgot the national team.
Oh, and I'm wearing the shirt.
And you're wearing the shirt.
I know, man.
God damn.
Wow. It's just like, yeah, you just missed that part of the highlighted part of the resume.
Yeah. We shouldn't have let Jurgen Klinsmann write your intro. I'm joking.
He might have.
Already with the jokes?
Landon Donovan, it is an absolute honor to have you on our show.
Thank you.
Look, we've been doing this. It started out as a...
Do you ever get tired of being called a legend?
I mean, there's worse things in life, right?
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Look,
what my in-laws say about me. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
So let us begin not discussing Alexis's issues with his in-laws. Yeah. And let's talk about your career. Let's start with the present right now. You are wearing the San Diego Loyal hat. You have gone into coaching. What has that experience been like for you in San Diego and working with this new team?
Mostly a disaster. No. if you told anybody that their first head coaching job would be in 2020, where after two games you get hit with a global pandemic, they'd probably say, like, that's a story that Hollywood wouldn't even believe. But we've played six games. I expected to have a lot of stress. I expected to lose all of my hair. I got a tiny bit left, but not from a global pandemic and everything that's gone on. I thought maybe we'd go on a three-game losing streak and that's what would cause it. It's been pretty crazy. The amount of soccer versus other stuff is very small, unfortunately, up to now in the year, but hopefully we're getting back to some normalcy at some point.
Yeah, we've all been on a losing streak, right? All together, the entire world.
No one's like, dude, I can't wait to go into coaching, and I hope we're all completely alone and have no fans ever showing up, and we have to lock down for months.
It's not, the way I dreamed of it.
They don't go over that during the A-level certificate for coaching.
Exactly. That is not something they prepare you for.
How difficult is it for you to coach, though? Because I'm sure you're talking to some of your players and you're just like, yo, why can't you do it the way I would have done it? You know, the greatest player ever produced by America.
Well, what I keep reminding myself is that I also didn't know certain things right early on, but you have to be taught and then you have to practice. So you learn quickly which players pick up things quickly, and you can work with players individually in that way. But the reality for most of the guys at this level is they've just never been taught, right? They've never been told how to do things at an elite level to be a professional. So it's humbling at times because you have to say things over and over and over. But then I think back to myself, I had to learn things over and over and over until I got it.
Okay. And new coaches get asked this question, but what is the thing that you now respect coaches for now that you have gotten into coaching that you didn't really, respect while you were just a player?
Everything. Honestly, everything. Because you guys know, like doing this show, right? Like people probably tune in and they go, oh, it's just two guys hanging out with their microphones. And like, but there's so much preparation that goes in, right? To put this on
Landon, you must have not seen this show before. I don't know.
Is there someone preparing for us? Because I know we ain't.
No, but there's so much that happens to make it right. And so you can do this job very lazily and very easily, but you're not going to be successful, right? So it takes time. I think the energy used on preparing training, running training sessions, then dealing with just 25 individuals on a daily basis and all the things going on in their lives. There's, you know, a player came to talk to us for a half hour today because he has an option for next season and he's trying to plan. He's 2 months from maybe being out of a job or being here again next season.
Yeah.
Right. And he's trying to figure out, and I don't have an answer for him yet, but you got to have that conversation and be honest with him. But meanwhile, you know, he's trying to figure out his life going forward. He's 2 months from having no paycheck. So like there's all these little things that go into it, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. But if you want to do it the right way, then you have the conversations, you prepare the right way, and you give everything, because it is these guys' livelihoods. And I care about that deeply.
When you look at sort of where the state of American soccer is today, you know, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but when you were playing on the men's national team, you were what, top 10 in the ranks for FIFA for many years in a row. And now it's not going so well. What are some of your just initial thoughts on what's happening in American soccer? What just as someone who's now a fan?
I mean, how long do you have?
Bro, how long do you have?
Because we'll do this exactly. All day. I think there are a few pieces, right? Every cycle of national team, so every four-year cycle leading up to a World Cup, you sort of have the group of players that you have. And so either in some years you have, you know, better players than you have in other cycles, right? And we went through a stage where we had a couple like down cycles just from a player standpoint. But long term, if we really want, because we could talk about each World Cup, and most World Cups for the U.S. are like a bounce goes this way and you advance out of the group. Bounce goes the other way and you go home early, right? Like that's where we are. When it's Brazil or Italy or Spain or Holland, they don't get to that point until it's like the quarterfinals or the semifinals. But if we want to get to that point, we have to start developing players that can play at that level. Like we never have had a Messi, right? Most teams have, but a Cristiano or even some of like the top elite players around the world, we haven't had that. So if we ever want to get to that place where we're going into a World Cup saying we're going to get to the quarterfinals, no problem. And from there, we'll see what happens. We got to develop players that can play at that level. We haven't done that yet.
Well, I would also say, you know, those other countries have not had a Landon. You know what I'm saying? There's a little bit of, you know, they're missing out a little bit.
Oh, you got a Messi, but where's your stock in the Donovan?
Well, if you ask my mom, it's very high. She's about the only one who feels that.
All right, we talked a little bit about American soccer. This is a question that it came up recently on Twitter. Gary Lineker said, after the, I believe, the final match of the Premier League, hey, America, you finally have a world-class player or potentially a world-class soccer player with Christian Pulisic. Yo, Landon, talk that talk, all right? Which will mean finally, right? Put some respect on your own name, Landon.
Well, I'd argue we've had quite a few. I mean, first of all, how do you define world class, right? So that's
by you, by Landon and Donovan.
I don't know how to define it, but Christian is certainly world class. But I think we've had plenty. I think it's a, you know, it's just a guy who doesn't really know a lot about American soccer making a kind of offhand comment. So you know, whatever. But I would argue we've had quite a few.
When you see Christian Pulisic, though, does this remind you a little bit of you? Obviously, it's a different time. There's different access that you didn't have when you were coming up. There's different, you know, things that scouts even just so much that can happen for Christian Pulisic, which the world of soccer in America wasn't prepared that way for you. When you see this, does this remind you a little bit of your come up? Or do you think he's better than you were at that age?
Oh, there's no question he's better than I was at that age. That's unequivocal. There are some similarities I see, although they were just totally different eras in how this all has come about. But this guy's scoring in FA Cup finals. He scored in, you know, Champions League late round stage games. He's doing it literally at the very highest level. And so I don't think there's any question that the only question remains is how long will he do it for and how high can he go, right? I mean, like, what's the ceiling for him? And then also, we need that for the national team too, right? And he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Unfortunately, he didn't have the chance to go to the World Cup in 2018. But But now I can't wait to see him with the national team on that stage, do it there, because that's going to be really special.
I agree.
Man, I was so hoping Landon would have been like, she ain't nothing. That's what I was going
for. I wish I could, but I can't. I got to be honest.
One other thing I have been, I mean, I never thought I would ever get a chance to speak to you about this in my entire life, but your goal against Algeria, right? Obviously, I'm sure there's hundreds of people that have come up to you and been like, oh my God, when you score that goal,
I dropped my burger.
So I'm going to be another one of those annoying people and tell you what I was doing when you scored that goal. But no, obviously, when that goal was scored, it felt like it shocked a soccer consciousness into my life of like, it felt like, wow, I didn't realize exactly how much I cared about this sport. I'm Dominican. I grew up with baseball and all this other stuff. So it was like the connection was instant. I'm like, man, I was jumping on my bed, losing my mind. My question for you is, how did that goal affect your life? How did your life change in any way when you got back to the United States?
Yeah, it changed in a lot of ways. First of all, I was single. So that certainly helped.
Let's go.
Oh, so you scored more than the goal.
So yeah, living in Southern California and scoring that goal and being single was definitely a good thing. But it's mostly that everywhere I go, when I meet people, they have a story about that. And so what I realize is that it did, just like you, it impacted them in a real way and turned them onto the game, right? And that is like, since I've been a pro at 18 years old in San Jose, whether it's conscious or not, you are an ambassador for the sport in this country, because it's just not, it wasn't as big as the other sports. Now it's blown up and it's much, much bigger than it was, but we're constantly ambassadors. So in one moment to like, do as much as 10 years of just grinding out, doing appearances, media, interviews, all this stuff can like change it like that is really powerful. So it's totally changed my life in a lot of ways. And it's been really special because so many people have come up to me and said, I never watched soccer until that moment. And now I love the game. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
When you watch replays, and I'm assuming you do this all the time,
just
constantly watching. Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you? I know I do. And I didn't score it. But when you watch those replays, what goes, do you remember that moment? Do you remember that ball sort of being parried or directly to your foot? Do you remember that actual moment? Or is it like one of those things where like a car crash, you're like, I don't know what happened, I blacked out?
It actually is. It's a little bit like in shock, right? So first of all, I didn't experience the goal through the camera angle that everybody else did, right? So you're watching from above or above and to the side, but I experienced it, you know, head on from what I was seeing. So it was different in that way. What I do remember is turning the corner and seeing Stuart Holden jump off the bench and us like meeting in the corner flag. So that part I remember, but like the lead up to the goal, I, for whatever reason, I don't know if your brain just does this on purpose, but I don't remember a ton of it. It was just all instinct.
Yeah.
It's too lit. It's just too lit. Your brain has to blast.
I mean, there's too many wires going crazy.
It is just, it's kind of a shame that your memory of that moment is the, you know, Stu Holden's frosted tips coming at you.
Yeah. I agree with that.
What a shock that your brain didn't black that out. That
Touché.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I just remember in that moment, it was one of those things where everyone around me started to care more about the sport that it seemed like for a long time only I cared about. So, cool. Yeah, thank you for your feet being in the right position.
I have to remind people, like, the end of that game. And actually, I watched it. Fox showed it, like, a month and a half ago on the day or the day before the anniversary, 10-year anniversary. And I hadn't watched it back. So watching it back, I realized how much we were able as offensive players to just cheat up the field because we had to score. If we lost 2-3 or 12-0, it didn't matter. We had to score a goal to try to win. And our back five, our goalkeeper, our back four, and Michael Bradley did so much work defensively and put out so many fires to just let us go. So like, yes, people talk about me finishing the goal, but like Josie in the right spot, Clint doing what he always did to get in front of the goal. There was a lot of
the throw from Tim Howard is out of this world.
There's so many pieces than I can kick. Me too.
Yeah, they, you know, it could have been like, you know, sometimes I watch it back and I'm like almost, you know, I remember feeling like when Dempsey, obviously the shot got stopped, but like when that happened, I'm like, I was so furious at him for that microsecond, and then you came in and saved the day. So I'm glad it wasn't just that memory of you know, of Dempsey missing or whatever.
Yeah, we all are.
the other thing I wanted to ask about real quick was we had a question from one of our Gully Squad members, Corey Burrington. This is obviously a subject that has come up often, especially you had mentioned the World Cup. But during the World Cup, you had done a promotional ad for Wells Fargo, and obviously Mexico was in the World Cup. And you also a lot of people may not know this, but you're also a beloved dude in Mexico as well. And there was a photo. It was shared on social media, and it was, you know, my other team is Mexico. And, bro, you got flamed for this. People got really upset with you. So what is, you know, what were the, what was some of that, just, you know, not the worst stuff that you heard, but what was the sort of response, and did you laugh it off, or was it, did you take any of it personal?
Well, as human beings, like, it's hard not to take things personally, right? I think the issue is when people just see like you holding a banner and a picture, and it's like anything in our society. You guys know this now. You read a headline and you make an assumption in your head, and that's all you know. You don't care to read the article. You don't want any nuance. You don't want to know why. I grew up playing with Mexicans. I grew up in Southern California playing with Mexicans. 95% of my club team were Mexican players. That's why I learned Spanish. Yeah. I had just gone to play in Mexico and fallen in love with this town that we went to in León. I have many Mexican friends. So when Wells broached the idea of doing it, I thought, okay, that's fine. Like I actually, all of CONCACAF, I genuinely want to do well when they're at the World Cup, because it helps all of us, right? And yeah. I said that actually in an interview a few weeks before that came out, and it didn't go over well. I probably should have learned my lesson. But the reality is like, I thought it was a fine thing to do. Probably in retrospect, it wasn't the smartest thing to do for a lot of reasons, right?
Yeah.
But you also learn that when you read 100 comments on the internet that are negative, there's like 100 million people who really just don't care. So like, you get caught in a rabbit hole, and you guys probably know this too. You make one comment and someone, and you're just like, you know what? You can't win. So just live my life, man. Keep moving forward.
Well, at least it's like, like there is a that like it felt genuine. Like it was, I'm like, it sort of felt like that there is a sort of good sign that people were so mad at you, or that the sport is now at a place where people will be mad at you for that. You know what I mean?
That's true. Well, you have to remember. Care. Yeah, that's true. You also have to remember that was like the height of like building the wall and all the presidents' like terrible rhetoric about Mexicans and that they're rapists and all this. So like, it was stoking a lot of flames in probably racist people. And so they see me with this and they're like, you know, F you and screw Mexico. And, you know, so it was kind of like, it was terrible timing in that way too.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. All right. Well, no, you know what? I'm glad you did it. I'll be honest, you know.
Orale, Landon.
as Latinos, it is you know, bridging that that gap is significant. So you know, shouts to you for doing that. All right, look, I'm wearing the full outfit. I gotta ask about the Toffees. You obviously, you played at Everton, short spells, but you know, I became an Everton fan because I saw that they were one of the few Premier League clubs that were bringing in American players, and that was my connection to the team. I saw Tim Howard, I saw you. I'm like, all right, this seems like a simple decision. What was your time at Everton like? I know fans had a lot of love and respect for you, but what was that like, making that jump there and playing for that team and finding some success?
Incredible. So, and the reason it started, I'm a very loyal person. So when I feel respected, loved, accepted, I reciprocate, right? And so the day I got off the plane, I'll never forget, I left on New Year's Day from LA, arrived in Manchester, went straight to the stadium with my agent because they were playing an FA Cup game at the stadium. So I got there at halftime and I had like a beanie on, big coat, scarf, like I wasn't very recognizable. And I walked in the stadium, and I swear from the second I got in the stadium, fans, ushers, workers there, everybody was like, "Hi, Landon, welcome. Great to have you, Landon. Welcome. Great to have you here." And I realized really quickly that, one, football was everything to that little city.
Yeah.
Because everybody there, like, it was everything to them. They knew everything about. So they knew I was coming in. They knew I was coming on loan. And then they knew I was coming that day, and they were expecting me. So from the moment that happened, I was like, wow, this is a special place. And the players were the same way. The coaches were the same way. It was a perfect match.
Look back at that moment, though, I remember watching and thinking there's got to be an immense amount of pressure on Landon Donovan at that moment, because the talk was, how great is Landon Donovan? And there's always that thing of, oh, but they play in MLS. And regardless of how much Christian and I will try to tell people that the skill set, the skill level here is great and blah, 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 people still say, oh, but that's MLS. Now you're stepping onto the Premier League stage. And from the offset, you were playing incredibly well. And I was hearing people that were anti-MLS starting to turn their ideas. How much added pressure was that on you? And do you think that if you would have possibly been able to stay there, that might have turned more heads in a positive direction towards MLS or America, the American player?
Probably, yeah, to answer your second part, yeah. But subsequently, a lot of players have gone to the Premier League now, American players, so I think that stigma's pretty much gone now. At the time, it wasn't. I'm forgetting the first part now.
Just how much pressure it was for you to go there, and did you have that in your mind?
I didn't feel pressure going there because I knew it was a short-term loan. So for me, I just didn't expect that I would play all the time. And I thought it was going to take time. But that changed quickly because the first week we played Arsenal away.
I remember, I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. And the day of the game, David Moyes, the manager, said, we're going to start you tonight. So I didn't have any time to think about it. But the other piece that was great about that club is it was a really established group of players. So like they all were professional. They cared about the club. They knew how to get results in the league. So I was just a little piece of that. Like in MLS, I was like, if I didn't show up and play well, we were going to have a much harder time winning. But in this group, I just needed to like show up and be a good piece of the puzzle and let everyone else do what they do. And I could help the team win. So it was actually quite easy, the transition for me.
All right. And then when we should talk a little bit about the LA Galaxy and your time there. I'm curious what your thoughts on the LA Galaxy right now. I mean, it's, we saw them at the MLS's back tournament and not looking great. The last couple of years, we've spoken about it on the show. It just seems like the cohesiveness and just real kind of defensive responsibility seems to be issues there. So what are your thoughts on LA right now?
It's hard for me to watch too, right? I'm so connected to that club, and I have been for a decade plus. So it is hard for me to watch. I have no trouble with teams losing. That happens, right? That's part of sports. And other teams in MLS have gotten really good. So it's not like the Galaxy can just stroll out on the field and win every game. The hard part for me watching is that I feel like a bit of the soul of the club has gone a little bit with some of the players. And so I'd like to see a group of players who just really, really care about the club. And I don't see that when I watch the games. They try, and they're trying to play hard, and the effort's good, but I don't see the same level of dedication that I used to see, and that makes it hard to watch.
Landon, you gotta be able to look at where MLS is today and kind of have a little bit of sense of pride, right? Because you were a foundation, the MVP trophy is named after you. You are a cornerstone of this league. But you talked a little bit about where the LA Galaxy are today. Do you miss the days when you guys made the rules for yourselves? Do you remember those days when you could have 4 or 5 DPs or sign whoever you wanted? Wasn't that nice?
I didn't think you were going there with that question. Yeah, it's kind of nice when like you get to make all the rules, right? So it's an easy way to win championships.
It was good. It was fun.
Those were the good old days. Unfortunately, there's more fairness in the league now.
Boo, Fairness. But so as far as the MLS is back tournament, how have you been watching it just as a fan? What are your thoughts? I know, you know, given the COVID era that we are in, I feel like outside of Dallas and Nashville having to drop out of the tournament, it has been entertaining, and I think fans should appreciate the fact that the players are kind of taking this risk for our entertainment. But what has it been like for you?
I've loved watching it. I've loved every minute of it. There's been some surprises, which you would expect to happen in a short tournament. Also because, like, state by state, people were in different places, meaning, you know, some teams could train and others couldn't. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there was like different levels of how prepared teams were going to be. But I think it's been riveting from the beginning. And I've really enjoyed watching it. I think they did a really good job.
All right.
That's awesome.
So, I'm going to try to get through as many questions as possible. We got so many questions from fans.
For you, Gully Squad is like our supporters group, and they ignited when we told them you were going to be on the show. We got one from Peter Carsey. He said, "What's one thing you would change if you were the USSF president?" Loaded question, I think. But
jeez.
He did say one thing. So scroll down the list of the thing you can talk about publicly.
One thing I would change. I would probably have equal conditions for the women in every way.
Okay.
So obviously, how they negotiate their CBA is up to them and those kind of things. But I think whatever happens on the men's side, including charter flights or the fields you play on or the way you train or the hotels you stay, all that stuff, I think should be equal. And a lot of it is, but I think that should be a starting point for the equality discussion.
All right.
Wonderful.
That is a great answer. Grayson asked, who was the best player you ever played against, and who was the best player you ever played with?
Good question. So I played against both Messi, or all Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar. Say all three. Best player I played with was Frank Ribery at Bayern Munich. He, just from a pure talent perspective, he had the ability to do things that I had never seen on a soccer field. I mean, I can't even describe, like, sometimes the ball would come to him and he would just make a couple moves or touch the ball a few ways and be by somebody and you just had no idea what he did. It was really fun to watch. Yeah.
Him and Arjen Robben looked like they were 45 their entire career, but they were so good. I can't grasp it.
Okay. The other one. So this was a very, very specific question, but this is from Ira Jersey. He had asked, how has he been integrating Nate Miller into your coaching staff? What duties has he delegated to each assistant coach?
It's a very good question. So Nate's been fantastic. So Nate, came in contact with because he was the Lansing Ignite head coach in USL League One last year and had a really, really good season with them. And when I met him, I actually met him at the USL Championship game in Louisville last year, and we hit it off immediately. He, in my opinion, is as talented a coach as I've seen in this country. And I think he's going to be, he already is for our staff, but I think he's going to be a star. So my job is really to get out of his way and let him do what he's good at so I don't mess it up. And I think we have a really good working relationship together.
Awesome.
I am going to be an agent. I like it.
No.
Thank you so much to Landon Donovan for joining us. Look,
amazing.
Landon, you have to come back on the show because there's a billion things that we did not talk about that we need to get to, specifically the water fountain photo shoot. We have to get to that. There's so many things we have to get to. So
we can do a whole episode on just that.
So you're welcome to come back.
We can do an episode on all the dumb things I've done.
You're welcome anytime. Landon, is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. I had never listened. I have to be honest. I'd never listened to you guys. But when I told people I was coming on, people freaked the F out. So I appreciate it. I would absolutely love to come back. And thanks for supporting this beautiful game. I really appreciate it.
All right. Dude, thank you for playing it as well as you did.
So, make sure you follow and support the San Diego Loyal. Follow Landon Donovan. Make sure you also follow at Soccer Cooligans, at Fubo Sports on all social media channels, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. So with that said, let's end the show the way we normally do. So for, what an honor, for Landon Donovan, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Landon just yelled the Cooligans.